Today's study is titled Moses, Let My People Go, Part 3. In our previous devotion titled Moses, Let My People Go, Part 2, we saw how Moses, together with his brother Aaron, brought together all the leaders of the Israelites, preparing them to face Pharaoh, then asked Pharaoh to let the Israelite people leave Egypt. It was vital that Moses trusted God and listened to God faithfully, following his guidelines. We saw how vital it was to have unity, which gave them strength when facing the powers of Egypt. We also learned that each one serving needed humility of heart. In today's devotion, we will see another important feature that Moses had. Like many of the leaders God chose in the Old Testament, when asked, they each felt most inadequate for the job and questioned God. But we will learn that when God chooses someone with a specific task, although we may feel totally inadequate for the job, God will supply the strength and all the resources needed to fill and carry out the task. God can use us greatly when we feel inadequate with ourselves and have to rely wholly on God for guidance. We read in Daniel 11:32, "The people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." The Apostle Paul so rightly says in Philippians 4:19, "My God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." We continue to read in Exodus 6:2-9. God also said to Moses, "I am the Lord. I appear to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I do not make myself fully known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they resided as foreigners. Moreover, I have heard the groanings of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hands to give to Abram, to Isaac and Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord." Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and harsh labor. Let's remind ourselves what God first said to Moses in Exodus 3, 7-8. "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard their crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey." Notice also what God said to Moses in Exodus 6, 6-7. "I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with a mighty act of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God." Here we see God opening his heart to Moses. God both heard and felt the hearts of the Israelites as they groaned under the weight of Pharaoh's slavery. God was about to put his words into action. It reminds me of when Jesus was here on earth. He saw every opportunity to help and heal folk in desperate need. We read in Matthew 9:35-38. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Pharaoh kept the Israelites in bondage, treating them as slaves. Pharaoh acted cold-heartedly towards Moses and Aaron and all the Israelite people. God's compassion was aroused. Moses was God's man for the job to release the Israelites out of their bondage. Today, the world at large continues its hostility towards Israel. In a number of nations, some who with whom like to obliterate the people and land if they were let. But the Israelite people are a loved nation by God. He had a purpose for the nation and still has a glorious future for them. God will protect his chosen nation and not allow the nation to suffer forever. Many times in the Bible, God shows his passionate love for Israel. God made a binding covenant with their forefather Abraham back in Genesis. God said to Abram in Genesis 17:6-8, "I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God." Here we see God reminding Moses of that covenant. God is a covenant-keeping God. His covenant will never be broken. In the New Testament, God made a new covenant with the world. God sent his son Jesus to rescue the world from the bondage and clutches of Satan, if they would only turn and follow him. We read in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." God's love is strong. It is for all mankind, not wishing any should perish. As the Apostle Peter wrote in 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." Like Jesus being sent by God to rescue the world, God sent Moses to rescue the Israelites out of Egypt. We then read in Exodus 6:10-11, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Go tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the Israelites go out of his country.'" This was Moses' response in Exodus 6:28-30. "Now, when the Lord spoke to Moses in Egypt, he said to him, 'I am the Lord. Tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, everything I tell you.' But Moses said to the Lord, 'Since I speak with faltering lips, why would Pharaoh listen to me?'" How often, when God has called a person to his service, they get cold feet and see all the obstacles and difficulties before them. We think of Jeremiah the prophet. We read in Jeremiah 1:4-10, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations.' 'Alas, sovereign Lord,' I said, 'I do not know how to speak. I am too young.' But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say, I'm too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. Jeremiah was God's voice to the nation. Sadly, Israel did not repent and ended up in bondage to the Babylonians for nearly 50 years as a result of their disobedience. Then we think of Gideon. Israel was not following the Lord and had become very impoverished, subservient to the nations around them. God gave them over to the Midianites and facing an opposing great army. We read in Judges 6, 1-8, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the powers of Midian were so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain cliffs, caves and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amaleks and other eastern people invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel. Neither sheep, nor cattle, nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count them or their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. When the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet. That prophet was Gideon. Why were the Moabites ravishing their land? It was because Israel had forsaken their God, but God in his compassion heard their cries. When the Israelites cried out to the Lord, God sent Gideon to deliver them out of the hands of Midianites. We read in Judges 6, 11-16, the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abrazite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in the winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Pardon me, Lord, Gideon replied, but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hands of Midian. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? Pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. The Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive. In the next chapter, we see how Israel was faced with this large army of Midianites. But before the Israelites went out to fight, God told Gideon he needed to cut down the size of his army as it was too big, reducing their size to 300 men. We then read how God ordered the army to spread out, light torches and cover them with pots. Then, at the appointed time, God told the army to strike the pots which broke, displaying the light, which in the darkness would look like a vast army attacking the Midianites. When the Midianites saw this, they turned on one another, killing one another and fleeing. Gideon's obedience to God's voice saved the nation. Finally, let us read about Isaiah the prophet. We read in Isaiah 6, 1 to 9, in the year of the king Uzziah died, I, that is Isaiah, saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Who shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, Here am I, send me. He said, Go and tell this people. Isaiah obeyed God. He was a wonderful God-fearing prophet. He did not just prophesy regarding the days in which he was living, but he also prophesied about Jesus coming into the world and giving his life for the redemption of the world. He also prophesied about future events which are still to take place, when God will set up his kingdom on earth, when all the righteous will live in peace and harmony for eternity. We now read how Moses, like Gideon, saw all the possible obstacles ahead of him, but God encouraged Moses by saying in Exodus 7:1-13, See, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. You are to say everything I command you, and your brother Aaron is to tell Pharaoh to let the Israelites go out of his country. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I multiply my signs and wonders in Egypt, he will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt with a mighty act of judgment. I will bring out my divisions, my people, the Israelites, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring the Israelites out of it. Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord commanded them. Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 when they spoke to Pharaoh. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, When Pharaoh says to you, perform a miracle, then say to Aaron, Take your staff and throw it down before Pharaoh, and it will become a snake. So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded. Aaron threw his staff down in front of the Pharaoh and his officials, and it became a snake. Pharaoh then summoned wise men and sorcerers, and the Egyptian magicians also did the same thing, but at their secret arts. Each one threw down his staff, and it became a snake. But Aaron's snake swallowed up their staffs. Yet Pharaoh's heart became hard, and he would not listen to them, just as the Lord had said. God sent Aaron to help and support Moses. Often God appoints two to minister together. Notice what God said to Moses in Exodus 7:1. See, I have made you like God to Pharaoh. When we are filled with God's Holy Spirit and anointed to the task God has given us, we and our listeners will know and feel the power of God emanating and flowing through us. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, 3-5, I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. We are God's ambassadors. We have the authority of God. We read what King Jehoshaphat prayed to God in 2 Chronicles 20:5-7. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord, in the front of the new courtyard, and said, "Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend?" When God's people prayed to God and boldly proclaimed his word, no one can stand against them. When we think of Moses, who was facing a powerful, hard-hearted leader and a nation worshipping multiple foreign gods, when we think of what Gideon was facing, a mighty, powerful army, does this strike a chord? Can we compare with what we're facing in our day? We are facing two battles. We have Satan and his warriors who will continually taunt when we boldly seek to serve our God. The nations are like in David's day, goring one another for a fight. There is potentially the rumblings of a third world war, as well as Ukraine being battered by Russia. We also see an ever-increasing decline in moral values. It is very much as Jesus said in Matthew 24:37-39. As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them away. This is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. We are fighting a spiritual battle. Satan knows his time is short. He is putting all his resources into full operation to try and hinder the wonderful plans God has for this world. Are we like Isaiah the prophet, watchmen ready to give the warning of what's soon to come? Do we have that burning desire that Isaiah had when he said to God in Isaiah 9:8, "Do we hear the voice of the Lord speaking to us, saying, 'Whom shall I send?'" And will our response be, "Here I am, send me"? And to hear the voice of God in response to say, "Go and tell his people." As in the days of Gideon, God is looking for an army to fight Satan and his forces. It does not have to be a big army. Just an army who, like when Gideon's army, when told to break their pots and release the light, are we ready to share the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ? We should not be hiding our lights under a bushel, but be breaking our pots, yielding to his will, to humble ourselves and allow the Lord, the potter, to break our earthen vessels and allow him to remould us into vessels made for the Master's use. Vessels that will boldly proclaim and declare the gospel, to set us ablaze with the light of God's love and truth by the power of the Holy Spirit. As we look across the world, we see vast armies building up in many nations, getting ready to fight, which suggests the start of World War III. We as God's army should not shy away from the spiritual battles that could ensue very soon. God is about to send his Holy Spirit in power on the earth to saturate this world, with the result that many folk will be seeking God and asking for his salvation. It will be the start of a great revival, larger than any other revival in time past. This revival is the final page of God's calendar, when he will ascend into the clouds and call his own people, the church, home up into heaven. Let us be bold, willing and ready to share the message of salvation, as the words of the hymn which says, "We've a story to tell to the nations that shall turn their hearts to the right, a story of truth and mercy, a story of peace and light. We've a message to give to the nations, that the Lord who reigns up above has sent us his Son to save us and shows us that God is love. We've a Saviour to show to the nations, who the path of sorrow has trod, that all of the world's great peoples might come to the truth of God.
Kingdom of love and light. For